Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Friend. Welcome back to Foul Play. A serial killer is a predator, like a hawk who stalks and hunts their prey. The serial killer has destructive momentum. They are a corruptive force, difficult to locate and challenging to stop. Their sinister strategies progress and develop over time. Their acts get bolder and more daring. A serial killer can be relentless as well as ruthless. When they have a hunting ground, they reappear at times of their choosing. There is a constant looming presence. They lurk at the edge of people's minds, keeping that uncertainty in place, not knowing where they might strike next. The Zodiac Killer fits into all of these descriptions. A killer who the statistics tell us is almost certainly male. He has left a trail of destruction in his wake. He stole the futures of his innocent victims, who were often only just into their adulthood. He changed the lives of two victims who survived his violence. Family and friends of everyone he harmed lived with the consequences of this man's actions and decisions every day. Yet he remains a mystery. His face is still in the shadows, and justice has not been served. The hunt, however, is far from over. Each unsolved gruesome murder at his hands is a reminder of the darkness that once stalked quiet beauty spots and city streets across California just over 50 years ago. In the 1960s, the term serial killer slept within the vaults of the unimagined. It didn't yet exist. The evolving work of the Behavioral Science Unit within the FBI would coin its existence within the decade that followed. In 1969, America was confronted with the horrific Manson family murders, sending shockwaves around the country. They didn't write letters to newspapers confessing to murder and threatening more. They didn't send mystery ciphers to be solved, claiming their real identity would be revealed in the solution. The Zodiac did. By early March 1971, the Zodiac murdered five people and left two severely injured and lucky to be alive. He had sent seven taunting letters, gloating about his actions, trying to claim the limelight. Four cryptic ciphers had also arrived from the Zodiac, letters and shapes all meticulously arranged to provide investigators with the puzzle to solve. This was a killer who thrived on attention and enjoyed the fear he invoked. There was no doubt of the danger he posed. We didn't know what he looked like, where he lived or worked, if he was married and had a family, who he was close to, and if anyone was close to him. These unknowns made the zodiac even more foreboding. The questions surrounding the shadowy figure increased each year that he remained elusive and hidden. In one of those letters to newspapers and law enforcement, the Zodiac claimed he had killed 17 people. He had only been officially linked to 5 murders, leaving the horrendous possibility that there were another 12 murders yet to be linked to him. His claims could not be confirmed. Law enforcement simply did not know if this man was telling the truth or was inflating his kill count to flatter his own ego and cause further pain. He enjoyed the thrill of the chase and the ongoing pursuit to capture him. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. As 1971 rolled forward, month by month, one thing became apparent. The Zodiac Killer had gone silent. He stopped announcing his kills. There were no more phone calls, letters, and ciphers. The Zodiac simply stopped communicating. It is assumed he also stopped killing. If he had continued, his narcissism would have pushed him to claim his kills and stamp his authority. Staying quiet and not demanding attention was not his style. His silence prompted a cascade of theories, suggesting the Zodiac had been apprehended and incarcerated, or perhaps met his demise, putting an eerie end to his grisly murders. Others felt this was a killer that would not just simply stop. Instead, maybe he had switched personas and was continuing to kill, but under a different guise. Many simply felt relief that this dark shadow and evil presence had removed himself from California's streets and coastlines. His absence, however, did not last. In 1973, after a seemingly 3-year-long hiatus, it looked like the Zodiac had made his return. On August 1st, the Times Union newspaper, based in the state of New York, received a letter. The sender kept his identity hidden, but the message conveyed was unmistakable.
"You were wrong. I'm not dead or in the hospital. I'm alive and well, and I'm gonna start killing again. Below is the name and location of my next victim. But you had better hurry because I'm gonna kill her August 10th at 5 p.m. when the shifts change. Albany is a nice town."
Underneath his words were 3 rows of symbols. Another cipher with no indication of its solution or meaning. This one, however, was cracked by the FBI's own cryptoanalysts. The first section they redacted and have never revealed publicly. The cipher read,
"Albany Medical Center. This is only the beginning."
The city of Albany is the capital of New York State and sits on the bank of the Hudson River. Beautiful and vibrant, over 100,000 people live there. There is no known connection between the Zodiac and Albany. No known reason why he would select this city and focus on its medical center. Both the letter and cipher contained a chilling threat. It seemed the author had selected his intended target and was giving a pre-warning before he killed her. It is expected that the police took these threats seriously. As August 10th arrived, all remained quiet. No murders on that day could be matched to this letter and these threats. A handwriting expert compared this letter to previous letters on the Zodiac, trying to establish if this was really the same killer. They were unable to say conclusively that it was the work of the Zodiac. However, he could also not be ruled out. The Times Union newspaper decided not to publish the letter to the public. 6 months later, on January 29, 1974, it was the San Francisco Chronicle who would receive the next letter. An old favorite of the Zodiac, the style and tone of this communication sounded like his usual prose.
"I saw and think The Exorcist was the best satirical comedy that I've ever seen. Signed, yours truly." He plunged himself into the billowy wave, and an echo arose from the suicide's grave. "Titwillow, titwillow, titwillow. P.S. If I do not see this note in your paper, I'll do something nasty which you know I'm capable of doing. Me, 37, SFPD, 0.
In his trademark sinister manner, the killer referenced movies and gave more chilling ultimatums. His terrifying kill count had now risen to 37. His numbers were rising dramatically. What the police didn't know was if he was telling the truth or not. The film The Exorcist was released to the public in late December 1973. It was a horror film filled with demonic possession and supernatural themes. The Zodiac's comments suggested he found amusement in such chilling acting and haunting storylines. He wanted to portray an ease with such intense themes. The quote he then wrote was from the operatic play, The Mikado, a reference he had used once before in his letters. The San Francisco Chronicle published the letter 2 days later, but did not include the cipher. The Zodiac Killer was as much of a threat as always. There could be many more of his victims out there, with their cases lying unsolved, or with innocent people convicted of his crimes. With no more information, it was impossible to find out.
There it was in the Chronicle this morning, like a nightmare revisited. A letter from the Zodiac, the man police link to 6 murders, the man who claims 37 victims. Stylistically similar to the ones written before, this Zodiac letter referred to the movie The Exorcist, quoted some lines sung by the Lord High Executioner in Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado, and ended with a grisly boast, quote, "Me, 37, SFPD, 0, end quote. This is the first letter from the Zodiac in nearly 3 years. It was probably mailed Tuesday from either San Mateo or Santa Clara County. San Francisco Homicide Bureau Chief Lieutenant Charles Ellis says handwriting analysis proves it is an authentic Zodiac letter, but he can only guess about why it was written after such a long silence.
He said he'd seen a movie that stimulated him to write this letter, and that's, you know, best I could determine at this time.
Do you think he will also be stimulated to kill again?
Well, that's only speculation. He's always threatened, and, you know, if the letters weren't published, in which the letter was published, so, you know, we have to go along on this basis.
Though this is the first time the Zodiac has publicly surfaced since March 15th of 1971, Lieutenant Ellis says there's hardly a day goes by in all these years that the Homicide Bureau does not receive a call or a letter from someone in this country or some foreign country wondering about the Zodiac, claiming to be the Zodiac. Each of those communications had to be investigated and followed, as certainly this latest one will be, all in the hopes that eventually one of these will lead to the Zodiac. Pat O'Brien, Eyewitness News at the San Francisco Hall of Justice.
Hey friends, picture this. You're planning an epic international trip, and you can chat with locals in their language. How cool would that be? Or maybe you want to enjoy foreign true crime documentaries without the subtitles. Learning a new language can open so many doors, but let's be real, traditional methods can be a drag. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program out there. Rosetta Stone has been around for 30 years, helping millions of users master 25 languages, from Spanish and French to Korean and Arabic. The key to their success? Total immersion. Their intuitive methods let you pick up a language naturally, starting with words, then phrases, and finally full sentences, One feature I love is True Accent, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent. And the convenience? Amazing. You can switch between your desktop and mobile app, and even download lessons for offline use. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Foul Play listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey there, friends. Life can be as complex as the cases we explore, and sometimes it's tough to carry the weight of it all by yourself. We all have those stressors that we just need to get off our chest. Therapy can be that safe place where you can let it all out and work through what's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for major trauma. It's also about learning to set boundaries and developing positive coping skills. Personally, I've found therapy to be incredibly empowering. It helps me become the best version of myself. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, making it convenient and flexible to fit into your busy life. Just fill out a quick questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists, you can do so at any time without any extra charges. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/foul today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/foul, FOUL.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Inspector William Armstrong reported this new letter had been examined by handwriting experts and determined to be a genuine Zodiac letter. It was the first time the Zodiac had not opened his letter with his now infamous line, "This is the Zodiac speaking." Three more letters would arrive over the following 6 months. But detectives were not convinced they came from the hand of the Zodiac. They were vague and out of his usual pattern and writing style. One was a reference to the Symbionese Liberation Army that was sent in the days after Patty Hearst was kidnapped by the group. It was signed, "A Friend." In May 1974, a postcard arrived at the San Francisco Chronicle complaining about ads from a movie that the author thought was murder glorification. That letter was signed, "A Citizen." A third letter arrived at the Chronicle on July 8, 1974. The author wanted a columnist removed from the paper and his column canceled. They signed the letter from the Red Phantom, red with rage. None of these letters were considered genuine Zodiac communications by lead detectives on the case. However, the FBI could not rule out the possibility completely. An intriguing aspect of the Zodiac letters was the obvious spelling errors that populated each one of his communications. Consistently, certain common words were spelled phonetically rather than their correct spelling. The Zodiac was widely regarded by those hunting him as an intelligent individual. His cryptic letters, intricate ciphers, and references to film and literature suggested a well-educated man. Yet errors in his spelling and grammar were frequent. They may have been genuine mistakes he was not aware he was making. Intelligence is not refined by how well a person writes. However, they could also have been deliberate ploys to make his letters more intriguing and disguise himself further. As with many aspects of this case, there is no way of knowing which one of these is correct. In choosing to send multiple letters and ciphers, the Zodiac was taking risks he didn't need to take. His desire for power and control, attention and notoriety, seemingly took over his desire to remain as undetected as possible. The Zodiac believed he had the upper hand, and it can't be denied that in not being captured, he did. He couldn't resist the urge to tease the authorities. By 1970, as homicide investigators were trying to identify this elusive serial killer, fingerprint technology was well established and relied upon for forensic investigation. DNA analysis at that time was in its infancy and not yet developed enough for widespread use. Forensic examiners needed to be meticulous in how they located and lifted any print. The use of dusting powders made latent prints visible to the naked eye. Adhesives enabled the print to be lifted and transferred onto cards for analysis. In the Zodiac's November 1969 letter, written after Paul Stein was murdered, he claimed he wore fingertip guards to make sure he left no fingerprints behind. He was forensically aware and believed he had protected his identity. The letters, it assumed, were written and posted by the killer himself. Any evidence he may have left behind, despite his confident claims, the investigators wanted to find. For each communication, the Zodiac sent an envelope and notepaper gave the opportunity for prints to be found. On his first letter to the Vallejo Times-Herald, in July 1969, forensic analysts found two fingerprints. His cipher sent to the San Francisco Examiner the same year gave one print. The letter he sent in August 1969 to the Examiner gave two further fingerprints. No one knew if these prints belonged to the killer, if they were the unique ridges and valleys on the fingertips of a multiple murderer. A killer who had been belittling them for not catching him, but they were prints that forensic investigators could use if there was a suspect that came on to the radar. By April 1970, the Zodiac letters were widely known about. If a letter suspected to be from the Zodiac arrived at a newspaper office, it was promptly passed on to police for evidence. It meant fewer people came into contact with these communications, increasing the likelihood of any fingerprints found belonging to the killer or someone close to them. Outside of his communications to newspapers and police, there was other possible fingerprint evidence. At the Napa phone booth, where the Zodiac made his call to report the Blue Rock Springs attack, a total of 35 fingerprints were collected and taken from the booth and the phone receiver. The receiver had been found off the hook and lying haphazardly on the phone booth shelf. On that receiver was a clear palm print. It was a print most likely left by the last person to handle the black plastic receiver. The forensic examiner described the print as still wet when it was found. Hopes were high that this could be the print of the Zodiac killer. This piece of evidence, however, was not to be. The print did not dry fully before the examiner began the process of lifting the print onto a card for analysis. The print was damaged and rendered too low quality to be used for future analysis. The final crime scene attributed to the Zodiac was in San Francisco, with the murder of minicab driver Paul Stein. Numerous fingerprints and handprints were found both inside and outside the minicab, where Paul's lifeless body was found. While hope flickered that these prints might lead to the killer, doubts emerged. Three teenage witnesses in the house opposite the cab's location watched the killer wipe down the cab before fading into the night. The prints remain on the Zodiac's files. The Exorcist letter of January 1974 was the last police-confirmed Zodiac communication. No longer was he providing possible sources of evidence against him. In 1974, the killer calling himself the Zodiac disappeared. This individual has proven himself to be a killer that does not fit into standard categories of offender, which became much more defined in the years after his communications ceased. He was complex and undeniably interchangeable in how he carried out his brutal attacks. He left very little evidence behind, but he did leave a trail of crime scenes that investigators and analysts have used to examine him. The conclusions have been mixed and overlapping. The Zodiac was an enigma from start to finish.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.